Thank you. Mr. Qualley?
I have two questions concerning that. Mr. DePasquale, you may be able to assist, or Brian. When we're speaking about the unfunded liabilities for our OPEB benefits, I heard that we pay as we go. And what I want to know is, what line item in our budget are we paying that money from? What is the payment going to be this year, and where is it taken from out of the budget?
Sure. There are several line items. So it is 75-159, 75-161, 75-163, and that's if for health care. I'm sorry. Nope, 158 is active. So that is paying the current year costs for retirees. That is not addressing the unfunded liability for future years, putting the money away, similar to what the city is doing for its pension plan, as was mentioned previously. So this is just paying the health care costs in retirement for this year for retirees, not addressing the unfunded liability.
Okay, and the unfunded liabilities are the future projected costs that are going to accrue in the future.
Correct.
And I have a question. I went to Secretary Magazina's office, and I was asking about a recent article that I read where they had listed cities and where they stand concerning their financial security in this area, and it was saying that Warwick was one of the in the top five or six out of the 39 cities and towns. And I was amazed, and I asked them to explain that. And one thing that they had highlighted was that the teachers had their liability was funding at 105%. And knowing what our unfunded liabilities were from the healthcare consultant that I heard last year, I asked him, what does that mean about the balance of the state? If Warwick is saying to be doing well with these numbers, how close is this entire state to bankruptcy?
If that's a question, are you referring to the OPEB liability or the report where he actually looked at local pension plans, he reviewed all the local pension plans, and what kind of liability that lends to the book?
So I believe they were speaking about the pension plans then?
That's correct. They have the local pension plans, and they went through, and Warwick does well, obviously, in the municipal and police too, and fire too, and schools, and obviously police one, fire one, and this is pensions. It's going to probably be on another budget category. But I'm very familiar with the study and the analysis. And I think the overall analysis was many of the local pension plans carry a large unfunded liability. And I think that was kind of the premise of the narrative in the preface. I will say that the plans in the city of Warwick, the Warwick Municipal Police 2 and Fire 2 are doing very well, considering the plan. So when you review that, and I'm sure we will review that later on when we talk about pensions, there is still an unfunded liability. And we obviously carrying Police 1, Police 2, Police 1, Fire 1. But throughout the state, the local pension plans to many municipalities are carrying much larger liabilities, closed plans and open plans. And that's what the report that we reviewed, I think, concluded.
Thank you. I think there's only so many questions we can ask about pensions, but
I have one other question, Steve.
Okay.
One other point and one other question, because Mr. Lattisaw brought this up a couple minutes ago. My point is, we talk about what we have to do to look at other communities. May I suggest we look at the city side? Excuse me, the school side. We just heard our OPEP responsibility on the city side is 290. Anybody want to venture guess what it is on the school side? 50 million versus 290. So we don't have to go far to find out what they're doing right and we're doing wrong. My last question is, it gets back to what Mr. Lattice said, Mr. Lattice talked about. Ed, you just made an observation that benefits at about 40%. I really think you underestimated. So I'm going to run a quick figure by you. Okay? My calculation. By the way, police and fire are more. I'm just going with municipal. Let's take an average employee at $50,000 on the municipal side of the house. We just heard from Gene, family plan is $20,000. I'm doing simple math. Basically, what we're talking about is the city pays $16,000. So there's 16% right there in that benefit. Pension. We just heard our contribution, we'll get into it in a minute, for municipal is 20%. I'm talking taxpayer. So we add another 20. 8% for Social Security, which we're paying. I took a little liberty on the next point because Steve just referred to the unfunded health care. So we start have to attributing that to an employee. I took a stab at it and said it's 8%. Could be much higher than that. And I'm sure there's some sundries. But we're at 48%, Ed. That's for the municipal. If you go into the uniform services, you're up to 55-60. Now, let me leave you on this note, because I know there's a lot of other people, and I want to get into pensions, too. Do a Google search. Find out what the average corporation in America does today. You know what it is, Ed? Any idea?
In terms of what they pay?
Yeah, well, I'm talking benefits. If you make a buck, how much am I putting into, you know, for benefits?
I'll listen to you.
32%. I just did a Google search today to see it. So the lowest we have is a municipal worker at 48 and go from there, and the average person is paying in the private sector 32%. All these costs add up. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your time.
Mr. President.
Yes.
I certainly don't have an issue with being corrected on a number. When I round, and when I average, I average. So we have employees who get $20,000 worth of family coverage, and we have employees that get single coverage, and it's significantly less. So it's fair to say that it's somewhere between 40 and 48%. Now, I'd also point out that over the years, we've gone from a population of 88,000 people to 81,000 people. So that means we have significantly less taxpayers paying the bill.
Thank you. Is anybody else here that want to speak?
Thank you, Council President Morola, and congratulations. Let me just ask a couple questions to Gene, and then I have a statement I would like to make, too. A few years back, I think, 5 or 6 years back, as part of the contract negotiations, we gave a $4,000 stipend for an HSA account for the police officers. And Councilman Morola, I could recall you asked a lot of questions about that because the administration came in basically with the supposition that that would save us 20% on the cost of the health care for the police officers. And I think at the time it cost $600,000. Has anybody done any kind of analysis over the last 5 to 6 years to determine if we've saved any money from these HSA accounts?
There have been reviews with legal and the FOP because there have been reviews because of the fact that the healthcare copay, they're able to look back to see what those fees are, and if there's savings, then their copay goes down. I don't know to answer your question, but I believe there were savings.
I believe RIPEX.
I don't have a number, but
Well, the only reason I'm bringing this up is at the point in time, I think Oscar Sheldon was still here, and I asked him the question, how did you come about with the $4,000 amount? And he basically said we gave him whatever Cranston gave their police officers, but just, you know, as a point of reference, I work for the 7th largest company in the United States. I get a $500 per year HSA stipend. So I don't think any analysis has actually been done by the prior administration to look at giving $4,000 out And if, in fact, if you look at the numbers, it doesn't look like we've had much of a savings, because if you look at that line item, it's steadily increased every single year. One other thing, the severance line item, this was 75-180. What is the severance? Is that like unused vacation time? What is that? What makes up that dollar amount when you leave?
Well, severance pay is 2 days for every day of service. So that would be it. But if a person had vacation time, unused vacation time, then that also would be paid out.
Okay, so I think you came up with a statement that you said how many people as of right now are eligible to retire, and we're not anticipating that. But do we have a calculation if just say all those people retired at one time, what's that unfunded liability? I know it's not carried on the books and it's not on your OPEB report. So
I would defer that to finance, because there may be, and I don't. I'm sorry. I would ask finance if in fact there is a figure for
that. Yeah, do we have a figure of what the accrued amount is? Because someday we're going to have to pay it. I'm just wondering, do we have that amount? Oh, okay. You're going to look it up? Oh, it's in the audit? Okay. All right. And I think... And I just want to make a statement now. I think I'm done with my health care questions, but... And this goes back, I wasn't here yesterday, so I apologize. This goes back to new council president Solomon is calling for a RIPEC study. I pulled out my RIPEC report for the school department when I was on the school department, and we had a joint meeting on March 22nd of 2006. And I just want to hopefully make sure that you, RIPEC's scope of what they're going to be doing covers some of these different areas. And I just want to read this paragraph into the record because I think it's very important. And here's what it says. As we look at RIPEC's two management studies and their recommendations, it's important to look at the scope of the study and the tools used by RIPEC in their analysis. First, we must note that the only two areas studied and reported in detail by RIPEC were the Information Services Department and operations of the Central Business Office. In reality, RIPEC only issued detailed reports and findings on 2.3% of the total school operations. The much larger area of our budget, such as employee contracts, fringe benefits, waiting, outside services, etc., were not reviewed or subject to a detailed analysis by RIPEC. At several meetings, school committee chairman Robert Cushman recommended that RIPEC look at these areas, but we were told that was not part of the scope of this study. So I'm just warning you right now, and I know, Council, I have all the confidence in the world of the new Mayor Solomon, that you need to make sure that these things that we're talking about are part of the scope. And I don't know, Council Monroe, if you recall, it was probably back 2007, you and I co-sponsored and passed two pieces of legislation, two resolutions to study school and city side employee benefits and compensation. And the mayor just ignored them. He never did them. So I'm hoping that when RIPEC comes in, the scope of the study is really includes many of the things we're talking about right here. And finally, and I thank you, Councilman Lattisaw, I for 10 years now, I've been doing my own little analysis, and thank God I'm not going to be accused of doing it at my kitchen table. I don't have to say I'm speaking on behalf of myself anymore, not my employer. I won't say that anymore either. But, you know, if you people have that, you council members, I just want to go over a couple things really brief. If you look on page one of the document I showed you, this is from 2004, 15 years ago. This is right from the budget documents. If you look at the piece of the pie called employee benefits and capital, 15 years ago, $30 million. 31.7% of the budget. And I'm not going to go across to 10 years and 5 years, but I'm going to go to 2019 proposed budget. $65 million. We went in 15 years from 31% of the budget to 44% of the budget. Let's look at social services back in 2004. 7% of the budget. We're at 4.4% of the budget now. We've given social services $700,000 in 15 years. $35 million more for employee benefits. Public safety was 34.7% of the budget 15 years ago. Now it's 30.4. Physical resources, DPW, 12% of the budget 15 years ago, 10.7 now. I think anybody who drives on Warwick Roads can appreciate the effect that that has had. A couple other things. If you look on page 3, nice chart here that shows new spending. The city has gotten about $51 million 15 years ago. That's cumulatively. If you look at the red line is active employee benefits. $23.7 million have gone to active employee benefits. Retired employee benefits, 23.9. We've paid more money for retired employees for doing services that were performed in the past than we've given to our active employees. Look at the green line. Everything else in the budget, over 15 years, $5 million. Think about that for a second. $5 million out of the $50 million. And then look at that last line. That last line is debt services. So basically, if you look, we've reduced our debt services. We're taking $1.6 million out of our debt services. People say, that's great, we're reducing our debt. But sometimes debt is good because you need to borrow money to fix up your buildings, to do capital improvements. What are we doing with our debt that we're saving, we're retiring? We're not going out and bonding for more money. That $1.6 million in Mayor Avedisian's budget, it's going for personnel costs. So every single line item in the budget over the last 15 years is being squeezed by employee benefits. And then another important document to look at. Look at page 4. I broke down every single budget since 2005 to 2019. This is based on one new dollar of taxes. Where does one new dollar go? And if you look at this, the blue portion is retired employee benefits. From 2019 all the way up to 2005, you're looking at 46, 47 cents per dollar. Every new dollar we get, if I put a dollar in taxes, we're taking 46, 47 cents out of that $1. It's going towards retired employee benefits. That's paying for services that were done in the past. Another 46, 47 cents are going towards active employees. If you look at some of the lean years in this city from maybe 2011, where it was just 2 cents per dollar. 2012, nothing. Everything went towards retired and active employees. We're putting about 3, 4, 5 cents per dollar. Every dollar we raise, we're putting pennies. And I'm talking about for paying for asphalt, paying for all the other line items in the budget. So that's what you're facing here. And then finally, I wasn't here for the school department on page 5. Every year we're breaking records on city spending. If you look at the school department budget, they're at 2010 levels. I wrote an editorial in today's journal. I hope you have an opportunity to read it, because you basically are on the Titanic, and you know, you're sinking here. And you've been put into an almost impossible situation. Page 6. 10 years ago, the allocation of the general of property taxes was 63.8% to schools, 36.2% to the city. Today it's 52.7% schools, 47.3% city. In 10 years, the city has taken 90% of all new tax dollars. That's $42 million towards the city, 4.4% to the schools. And remember, in 2006, Chairman Nadu talked about this yesterday, we're the only municipality that cut the school budget 5%, took the $6 million and put it over to the city budget. So if you look at $6 million and you multiply that by the last 8 years, if you left it in the school budget, they would have had $48 million. They could have paid for all their capital improvements without even going out for bonding. That money went to the city side, and it paid for all these retired and active employee benefits. Page 7, I want to show you a trend. The red line is looking at healthcare, comparing city to schools. In 2004, healthcare, This is for active and retired employees, $11.9 million. Now it's at $21.4 million in this current budget. In the school department, they've actually gone down. They're at 17.5. They're at 2011 levels. You're breaking records every single year on your healthcare expenses. And, you know, one of the thing is, one of the reasons why maybe it's a $300 million unfunded on the city side and 50 on the schools is at 65 years old, the teachers are off the system. They're off the system. They're on Medicare. That doesn't happen in the city of Warwick, and that's why you have about six times higher unfunded liabilities. The chart on the bottom, it's pension expenses, 13.7 in 2004 for the city, 33.2 now, over 200% increase. If you look at the schools at 12.9, they're at 2012 levels. They've been pretty steady, and that's because of the pension reforms on the state level. Next page, on page 8, I broke down just the retired, and Mr. Duran alluded to this. In 2004, retired employee health care was $4.8 million. We've gone up 191% in 15 years, over $9 million. School department, I only had this data from 2012. $1.2 million in 2012, $700,000 today. $700,000 on the school department, $9 million on the city. So I think we all know what the problem is. You know, it's not going to be easy to solve, and there's going to be a lot of pain, and I'm just hoping that everybody in this city and the unions are willing to cooperate, you know, and help out and make some of these changes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public? Yes.
Well, he had asked the question here. Just to answer Mr. Cushman's question, on page 16 of the audited financial statements of the city for June 30, 2017, accrued compensated absences has a figure of $1,576,840.
Thank you.
I guess I'll use this one. Stacia Hyler, Ward 9. I think it was about 3-4 years ago when Bob was giving his presentation. I know Councilman McAllister was not here, Councilman Corley was not here, Councilman Ricks, you weren't here, and Councilman Howe, you weren't here. But I would really like, if I may, City Councilman, City yeah. Council President Marola, just to refresh their memory. When Bob Cushman was here presenting this data about 3-4 years ago, that screen up there just happened to break. The City Council chambers was full.
I don't know if recounting how people were treated is relevant. Okay. So, I mean, if you want to talk about the budget, I think I understand what you're saying.
I just don't think
it's productive.
Okay.
I think if we talk about numbers, we talk about, you know, what your position is.
The reason why I bring it up, and I appreciate what you're saying, the only reason where I was going to go with this, not to get into too much detail, is it fell on deaf ears when the City Council chambers was full of city employees. We tried to get the message out then, okay? There's really not a whole lot here. I don't even really think they still don't care about what's going on. I can see that there's some union leadership here. I would hope that they're going to help to relay this information and get it back to their union members. But last night you were all really concerned about how you could fix the school buildings, how we could really help the kids and improve the school buildings in Warwick. It is up to you. No one else is going to make these changes. It's in your hands to make these changes. You have $4 million right now that you can cut with co-pays, prescription co-pays that we should not be paying for. You eliminate that. Get it out. We shouldn't have to pay for that. It's $4 million in savings right there that can go back to fixing our school buildings. You need to not vote to ratify these contracts. If health insurance costs are going up for everybody else, they go up in the private sector, they're going up in the public sector. Everyone needs to pay their fair share. Why should the taxpayers have to keep up with this? And it's not being picked up on the municipal police and fire side of business. It's completely unfair, and as we can see, it's unsustainable. I think this is, I think what we're asking for is fair. You know, there needs to be, you know, you can't keep coming to the taxpayers. I don't understand why this is such a difficult concept for the rest, for city workers not to comprehend, or union leadership not to comprehend. You have to, you know, we have to meet in the middle. And I don't think it's an unfair request to be asking these questions. So what do we have? Take out the prescription, so $4 million in savings there. City retirees, they're not paying anything towards their health care. I think that's, I don't even have the right word for that. These deals were cut a long time ago, and, you know, why wouldn't anyone not want to come and work for Warwick? I mean, geez, with this kind of health care. But they don't understand really what the bottom line is and what's going on and what it means to Warwick taxpayers. So, again, you have to do the right thing, and now is the opportunity to do it, and you will find the savings. It just can't be coming from the school side of business. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public? Yes.
Council President, I just want to make, I wanted to clarify something. The $4 million plus is the total expense for pharmacy. That is not the cost of the cap. The cap is like 3.4% of the actual rate. So I compute the cap to be on last year's rates to be a cost to the city of $500,000. So that would that's a savings. And this cost, like if an individual were to purchase that, I believe it's about $6. It would cost them $6 a week for individual, and I have the figures for like family. So it basically, I think it would be more correct to say that the 20% that individuals would pay on that $4 million would be something like $800,000. But the cost for the cap is kind of like a stop loss for individuals that have high health care. So that cap provides them like the stop loss. So, I mean, there are always ways to come to the table and negotiate these things, but I just wanted to clarify that was the total cost of pharmacy. Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying that. We shouldn't have to pay for any of it, whatever the cost is, $800,000, eliminate the cap. Pay for your own copay insurance. We all go to the pharmacies and we all pay a copay for our prescriptions. I have to pay for a specialist $40, okay, non-specialist $25. And I'd like to add, you know, my 36-year-old sister-in-law, she suffered from breast cancer, okay? Both my brother and my sister-in-law work. They couldn't even afford their medical treatment for her breast cancer. They had to do a GoFundMe because they weren't even getting enough. They never mind they pay enough for their family plan, okay? They couldn't even afford the copay insurance. And here we are, we're just what? We're giving it away and we're picking up the extra expenses when our health insurance goes up and it goes up for everybody, but we're supposed to pick that up? I don't think so. This needs to stop because we cannot afford it and it's unfair. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public?
Mr. President, just on the subject matter of unfunded liabilities, I just want to remind the council that there are other unfunded liabilities that aren't even present in the budget that we don't even recognize because they're not there in writing. And as an example, one of those is payment for unused sick days. So as of last year, just in the fire department, we had 22,785 days of unpaid sick leave that we're carrying on the books, that we have to pay it. Whether it's today or tomorrow, we have to pay that, right? That had a value based on 2016 of $12.4 million of a liability that we're not carrying, we're not watching that, we're not seeing how that grows, and it's not on our balance sheet. So we have to be mindful of that.
So we're gonna get to fire.
Yeah. Well, just on terms of liabilities, I wanted to bring that. But what I just wanted to say in general was, you know, I'm reminded by that famous quote. I think it was Dr. Spock, the needs of the many exceed the needs of the few. So since I've been paying attention, we see the employees every year get more and more and more and more and more. Every year, the taxpayers get less and less and less and less and less. And let me remind you that in 2010 and 2011, when the mayor completely eliminated the exemption for automobiles from $6,000 to $5,000, that added 32,000 tax bills that went out to the poorest and most sensitive of our residents. So since then, we increased it by $1,500. We still have an additional, since 2010, 28,000 additional car tax bills going out. We haven't seen any pennies go back to those people, right? It's easy. We can throw $1.3 million in raises this year. We can add all these benefits. But those people, the poorest in our neighborhoods, what do they get? They get zero. They get another tax bill every year. And I'd really like to see those people see some benefit, because after all, this is the year of the taxpayer. These people can't buy prescriptions because of their car tax bill and their homes. They're getting run out of Dodge. So I think, you know, this year maybe we think about throwing those people a little pittance, so to speak. So let's be mindful of the most sensitive of our residents in how the increasing costs to belong to this city and to have the privilege of having a job is impacting them on the opposite side. Thank you.
Thank you. Any members of the public?
Roy Dempsey, Ward 1. In listening to the many speakers that came up here, I think the council, at least what was said here tonight, has exposed the culture in this city, and we're looking specifically at personnel costs, a culture of don't give a damn or let them
pay. You know, I said this at the beginning. I don't know if you were here. I'm not going to tolerate attacks on individuals and employees of the city. That's not productive, because there are many hardworking employees of the city. And so when you say people don't give a damn, people give a damn about their jobs, okay? And if a contract is negotiated to their benefit, it doesn't mean that they don't give a damn. So I just want to, you know, keep this as a civil conversation. It's a debate of ideas. If you want to say that a benefit is too high or too low, I don't have a problem with you saying that. But when you start talking about individuals giving a damn, then I'm going to step in. Right. Well, because I don't think that's an accurate statement.
Well, it was directed at an administration that apparently didn't correct costs. And my question is, I believe her name is Janine, who came up here, and I guess the administration proposed here pay another $2 million on top of everything else. Was there anything during the year regarding cost correction in terms of, hey, the numbers don't look good, maybe these expenses are going a little haywire? Did the administration or did someone ask for a new way of looking at what was being done in this city in terms of, we saw the $2 million increase. Did anyone ask you why? What can be done about it? Or was there any presentation made to this particular, in the past, mayor regarding these numbers? Did he seem concerned about the numbers?
Unfortunately, Roger, he's gone. We're not privy to the conversations that he had.
The address is to Janine, and whether concerns were expressed to her.
Are you privy to any of those conversations?
I am not.
You're not? Okay. All right. Is there any other questions from the public? Any council members? Okay. If not, we're going to move on to debt service, which is page 20 and 21.
Good evening, Mr. President. Brian Sylvia, City Treasurer. Before you this evening is, as you mentioned, debt service, which is on principal, is on page 20. Interest is on page 21. The proposed budget for principal this year is $6,223,851. That is a decrease of $1,022,385. To break that down further, The total general obligation debt is down $1,011,713, and master leases are down $10,672. The budget last year for this department was $7,246,236. Three debt service payments were retired this year. Library bond, which had a budget last year of $242,697.
Which bond was that, Brian?
The library.
Library, yep.
I'm sorry, that is, again, 2503. The fire bond, which was 2510, was retired at $40,449. And the transportation bond line item 2513 was retired, which had a budget last year of $101,124.
And so, Brian, just so we're clear, the debt service that we're talking about, or the bonds we're talking about, are school bonds. I'm not talking that they're totally retired, but we're paying down the debt.
Correct.
School bonds, library, land acquisition, recreation, drainage and highway, fire bonds, city building bonds, transportation bonds, animal shelter, public safety bonds, fire station bonds, a municipal road and bridge fund. And what's paying agent? No, those are the fees associated with the bond, bonds, the $2,500. So we've retired debt, and that saved us how much from last year?
On the principal side, $1,022,385. On the interest side, $139,819.
So around 1.2?
Correct.
Around 1.2 million. And I think what some members of the public had stated before, so we don't repeat ourselves because I certainly get the message, is that 1.2 isn't going into repairing other infrastructure, new projects, etc. That 1.2 isn't reducing the debt. It's going towards wherever it is in the budget in other line items.
Correct.
So thank you for your presentation. Any members of the council have any questions? Yes, Councilman Lattiser.
Brian, I'm under the impression that the school department is paying the interest on the bonds that they are utilizing, and yet we're showing it on our side.
I'd like to get back to you on this. I believe this was before my time, but I believe how it was worked out was a portion with the bond when it was issued, recent issuances were split. And so I believe it was a 50-50 split, but I'd like to get back to you on that.
Okay. And also, what is our bonding limit?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Our bonding limit. What's the limit we have on bonds that we can float?
While I'm looking for that, that is a position of strength really for the city right now. Where that is a position of strength for the city right now. The debt is retiring at a substantial rate. There is not a lot of debt on the books. General obligation debt, I should say. It is retiring fairly rapidly. Can I get back to you on that as well?
You can.
Thank you.
A follow-up to that question. So, using a round number, an easy number to understand, for every 100,000 that we would increase our bonding limit, not limit, but increase our bonding costs, how does that impact the taxpayers? For every 100,000 that we add on to the debt,
I think it's about a penny. It's about 10 cents per million on the residential rate, which would be about a cent per 100,000.
Correct.
Okay.
And just to get back to your point, I'll answer that further, but the state does set a cap for municipalities, and it goes by, again, your assessed value and what they do set an amount that your ability to issue debt. We are well under that. I just give me time to look for that, and I will get that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other council members? Councilman Corley.
Brian, when you're talking about the lack of debt and the lower that the city owns on bonding, that is reflected in the Moody's rating that we have. And I know that having less debt means that you are a better risk to borrow money. And there, I believe that Warwick is rated pretty high along that. That means that we have good credit.
Correct.
Because we don't owe a lot of money on the bonding.
Correct.
And that is all part of the financial picture that we have to take into account when we figure out how to go forward.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
In addition to, as Councilman Lattiser was questioning, in addition to that, another common statement that rating agencies will use is how much debt is being retired within the next 10 years. Sorry, I think I'm cutting in and out. And that, again, I don't have that figure right now, but I will get that for you. But that is, again, in terms of the city, if you look at their overall debt and the amount of the debt that will be retired in the next 10 years, it's a very it's a good picture for the city. That's a position of strength currently for the city.
Brian, one last question. The last three items under the debt principle are 2015, 2016, and 2017 leases. What are those numbers referring to?
The current, I don't know what, these are the current master leases that, I'm going to switch.
Go ahead.
Those are the three active master leases that are currently on the books that have not been paid off. The 2017 master lease, that was the master lease that was done, as an example, that was done, I believe it was May last year. It might have been June of last year for $1.8 million. That's the 2017 master lease. That's
I don't understand lease. What you mean by master lease.
The city, you know what, I have a...
What are we leasing?
Sure. I'll stick with that one because that is the most recent one, but okay. The lease from last year... it was $1.8 million. The city bought a ambulance, a Silverado truck with a plow, 28 police cars, a street sweeper, sanitation vehicle, and two dump trucks for the $1.8 million.
Okay, so all of the leases are for vehicles that are used for city maintenance work or other transportation?
Predominantly, yes.
Thank you.
Any other council members? If not, any members of the public?
The gentleman just said that the city's in very good shape in terms of if you want to issue more debt. But I'm not sure, you know, we've talked about financial straits this evening. We said, hey, we're not looking that good, big headline in the journal. You know, Walk is sinking. What are the debt rating agencies looking at that we're not seeing? Just the ability to borrow more money, or just the capacity to tax as well to pay the debt?
So we go out to bonding, and when we go out to bonding, they give us a rating. And when they give us a rating, that equates to an interest rate. The better the rating, the lower the interest rate. So that's what Brian's talking about. So if we maintain a high, in other words, they believe that we can pay back our debt.
Is that based on just the ability to tax, or is it based on other qualities?
It's based on a lot of actuary figures, and if I went to actuary school, I'd be able to tell you, but I didn't. Any other members of the public?
Thank you. Hey, thanks, Brian, for being here tonight. We appreciate it. Above and beyond the call of duty. Good luck in Coventry. I have a quick question. What's our total debt? When we figure in OPEB, pension obligations, the money we own for buildings, what's our total obligation, number one? And number two, what does that translate into a family? A household, is it $10,000 we owe? Like when people are getting sewers now, they owe $20,000. So we take our total debt, divide it by the number of households in the city of Warwick, how much is it? Thank you.
So I guess the question is, what's the total debt? And then if somebody has the total houses, I think they can do the math. Brian, is that an easily obtainable number?
Under normal circumstances, but when you're on a podium.
It looks like Lynn might have the answer.
Okay.
While Lynn's looking up that answer, if somebody else has a question.
Thank you. Stacia Hyler, Ward 9. A question for Brian. Could you please go through what you said we purchased again? Sorry, you read it so fast. Thank you.
This is the last master lease?
Yes.
We purchased a TerraStar ambulance, a Chevy Silverado truck with plow, 28 police cars, a street sweeper, sanitation vehicle, rail loading, dump truck with plow, and dump truck with trailer.
One dump truck or one, you said? Okay. One dump with trailer. Thank you. And I also believe, so there were a lot of bids that were held. I remember that during the budget meetings
so
this year.
So if something was held, it wouldn't be on that list.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But they were held, but so meaning that these departments still need these vehicles. They came forward. They said, we need these vehicles, and they held the bid. So how does that work? Do we know? So they're going to be coming back up and asking to purchase these vehicles again. Do we know what that dollar amount is? Have we factored that into this budget?
I think Bill might be better able to answer that. No?
Thank you, Council.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill.
I wish I had an answer for you. It's highly speculative at this point. Mayor Solomon's committed to keeping the best equipment on the road, but within the means of the taxpayers. So under the lease, you know, process that we do have, personally, I think it's a very positive program, because what we're able to do is buy city assets and have the advantage of the lease program, so we're not just have these solid capital overlays. Outlays, I should say. We do have, and I will be creating a infrastructure improvement plan as part of my activities in the planning department, and they will include not only infrastructure improvements to city buildings, but also take a look at the assets that are needed by police and fire and DPW, take a look at the length and time of these assets purchased through the lease program. For instance, a full inventory of the police vehicles, fire vehicles, DPWs, understanding the conditions, the length of time in terms of the residual value relative to the lease that's been issued. And we're going to have a procurement plan. And that procurement plan is going to have a direct nexus between the needs of our employees to do the jobs of the people and the ability for this council and for Mayor Solomon to fund those appropriately through the lease program.
So I think the answer is the new administration's in the process of developing that.
Thank you very much, Bill, for that explanation. I'm sure Bill's plan will be a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have that, the debt services, and I just lost my next question. Too many questions. Okay, I can't even remember what I was just going to say. Oh, back to the schools. I don't know if we can even talk about that. So the bond, we're looking at potentially, say it passes, what are we looking at, $80 million? Bond?
Right now it's a 40, I think it was a $45 million bond that's, and you'll recall from yesterday, they're paying the debt service principal and interest in their budget on that bond, so that wouldn't be in here, correct, Brian?
And so has that already it's been factored?
Well, it hasn't even gone out yet, so. Because it has to be approved by the voters in the fall.
So they're going to need, so then that extra
so
money.
So then that would be addressed at that time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Just to the point for that bond, it's not addressed in this budget because it'll be on the ballot this November. The first time it would be issued probably be the following summer, and even if that is the case, we won't get a debt service payment until the following year. So it wasn't addressed in this budget, and it doesn't need to be in this budget. That'll
okay.
Be the following year.
Thank you. Any other members of the public?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm looking at the capital improvement budget. I think page 18. It just summarizes all the capital improvement projects for 2018-2019. So you got public works, $1.1 million, police department, there's three different areas, fire department, three different areas, library, school department, MIS. So it totals $4,580,000. The bottom of the page, it has general operations, $2,880,000. So two questions here. So and when it says general operations, is that within the regular budget of the departments that it's going to pay for those capital improvements?
It's a great question, and so we also do a capital improvement program budgeting, and that is a wish list. So each department actually creates the need statement, and this is really a long-term planning tool that actually comes out of the planning department that does not have a direct correlation with operational costs. What that is an understanding from a 10-year point of view what these department needs are. So once something is transferred from the capital program, it has to be accounted for in the budget. So in some of these particular instances, some of the improvements, like vehicles, might be part of the lease, master lease agreement or approvals. Some of them won't even be funded at all.
All right, so here's my question. So on the bottom, you have lease purchase $1.7 million. So is that part of this year's budget, the $1.7 million lease purchase?
No.
So this $4,580,000, we're not funding anything?
No, that's the capital improvement budget. Portions of this could be funded. This is an entire list of what could be funded. This, former Mayor Avedisian's budget may or may not have some of these items in there. I don't know exactly where they are.
So the only reason I'm asking this question, we're reducing debt by $1.2 million, right? There's no new debt. So we're not funding any of this, right? So we got $1.1 million for streets, which our streets could use this, and stormwater, we're not funding. We have police resurfacing front parking lot, $80,000. Police headquarters improvement, $70,000. Annual purchase of police vehicles, $550,000. Is that in the budget for next year to get new police vehicles?
Again, the way I reviewed former Mayor Avedisian's budget, some of these appear to have gotten into the budget. But in that list in its entirety, nothing in the capital improvement program, in their entirety, is within the budget. Never has been. Capital improvements is a long-term wish list in which it transfers over.
So I would just ask the council, can you, you know, I'll watch on TV tonight. I don't think I'm going to be here all night. When the police department comes up, can you ask them that question if the new vehicles are in their regular general fund budget? You know, and this is just getting to the point where, you know, we have this wish list, and, you know, for the next, it looks like 5 years, we have $15.7 million that we want to do improvements on, and we're into year one now, and we're not doing anything because we can't afford it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so that's debt service. If there's no further questions, we're going to move on to fixed costs, page 74.
Okay, Mr. President, before you this evening is a budget for fixed costs in the amount proposed of $388,500. That is an increase of $23,500 over the current budget, which was in FY18 an amount of $365,000.
Thank you. And that's the line items there, arbitration, municipal arbitration, police arbitration, fire workers' compensation, police fire disability, unemployment compensation. Is there any questions from the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Brian, what is our experience mod rate on workers' comp? The experience modification rate. So, in order to compute what our workers' compensation costs are, we need to know what our workers' compensation rate is, which is established by NCCI. And that could be a plus or a positive. And that is a direct correlation to what you have for claims, or for that matter, loss-free years. So I would like to know how we came to calculate this cost. And then in the unemployment compensation, how do we come about that number of $42,500 when in 2017 we had $28,000? This current year, I don't know how it's going to go from, just hold on 1 minute, just bear with me 1 minute here. I don't know how it's going to go from the number that we have here in this budget right now is showing unemployment compensation as of May 1st, $18,291. The real-time number as of 4:07 this afternoon was $18,374. So I'm asking how you compute the number for the proposed budget of $42,500 and how you go from $18,374 today to $28,000 projected for year end.
The projected number was when we submitted the budget, and at that point in time, we had a person that was on unemployment that we didn't know how long they would be on it, and they have since, there's been a change. I don't really want to get into discussing that.
No, that's fine.
So that was why we did project it high, because we felt that that person was going to be on unemployment for a long
time. All right, so hold on. So when you said when you prepared this budget versus the person that was on unemployment, give me the correlation. When you prepared the budget and when this person was on unemployment.
The person was on unemployment at the beginning, around the budget time, and he anticipated that person would stay on that. But without giving any more details than that, that did not happen like that. And that person will not be on unemployment, and that number certainly can go back to where it was.
So that number that you projected as a long-term or potentially much higher cost ended up being somewhere around $80 from May 1st to today, because that number only changed $80.
Right. I could.
So how do you project, how are you projecting to 28,000? That's my question. I mean, we go, these projections seem to be all over the place. So we have a number today of 18,374. Okay. And we're projecting
normally
out.
Normally we have that.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we're projecting out an additional 10,000. What basis are you using for that?
All right. Well, the basis is the 28,000 there is basically used for the crossing guards in the event that they were to collect unemployment. And what we do is we utilize them in the department. So we will charge that account that money. However, we also had anticipated someone to be on unemployment, and that would have been the additional money.
So what is our FUTA rate?
I don't have that here.
Okay, I'd like to also know what that number is, because you can't calculate, or I can't calculate any of these numbers unless I know what the experience mod is and the workers' comp and what the FUTA rate is on the unemployment insurance, which is going to help me make a decision, me personally, on your budget or this budget and fixed costs regarding your projected budget for 2019. I need to see what the math formula is using those equations that I'm asking for to get to those numbers.
All right. We'll get that for you.
Thank you.